In times of financial hardship, it's not surprising that energy and climate change issues can sometimes get shoved to the back burner. But according to New York Times columnist Thomas Friedman, author of Hot, Flat, and Crowded, it's actually the ideal time for a green revolution. I sat down with him recently to discuss how Main Street America can be made to care about global warming in the midst of an economic meltdown. With a war on two fronts, the economy in crisis and healthcare now brought to the front burner, it's easy for Americans to lose sight of the issues of energy and climate change. I recently sat down with New York Times columnist Thomas Friedman. His grasp on how all these issues might be interconnected makes Friedman the perfect person to ask about a rapidly changing climate and what could and should be done about it.
There are a lot of negative aspects right now. You got the collapse of the economy, you got the damage to the automobile industry. Is it difficult now to make climate change a priority?
It is difficult to make climate change the driver of change in terms of the American economy. To me, it's about national renewal. I think by leading the world in energy technology, it is the foundation of a whole renaissance of American industry, scientific research, and innovation. We fell into this mode of dumb as we want to be. Dumb as we want to be, and we'll get to it when we get to it. Healthcare, we'll get to it. Climate change, Social Security, we'll get to it when we get to it. Well, we got to get off that track, okay, and get on to a track of nation building at home.
If we don't change this by 2015, what do you think will happen?
Here's what really worries. I think within 5 years, China will have to go green because it cannot breathe, it cannot drink, okay, it cannot move, and it cannot swim, and it cannot fish. That's where I think China's going to be in about 5 years, that it will have to go green out of necessity. Well, what do we know about necessity? We know one thing about necessity. It's the mother of invention. And when China has to go green and out of necessity invent more efficient cars, more efficient heating, more efficient cooling, more efficient building materials, oh, guess what? You won't just be buying your kids' toys from China. You'll be buying your next car, your next air conditioner, your next refrigerator freezer, your next microwave. China will go from red China to green China. And we'll wake up one day and discover that we've got to buy all our clean, green technologies from China.
I grew up in Detroit, in the automobile industry. To see now in these new electric cars, those batteries are coming from South Korea, from Germany, not from our country.
Do you know that the motto of the South Korean president is green growth, low carbon economy? That's the motto. That's what he repeats over. That's what he got elected on. Do you think the rest of the world's out there sitting waiting for us? Oh, geez, I wonder if the Americans will finally get through the energy subcommittee.
The population, right now 6 billion people. By 2050, we're talking about 9 billion people. What's going to be the impact of that on this planet, do you think?
It's going to get awful crowded. But the number to watch is not just the number of people. The key number is how many of those people will be living like Americans, driving American-sized cars, living in American-sized homes, on American-sized roads, and eating American-sized Big Macs. It's not just the global population is going up. It's the number of Americans. And I'm not talking about just people living in America. There's now millions more Americans living in India, in Russia, in Brazil, in China.
But other countries aren't the only concern. Not surprisingly, Americans today are always worried about the bottom line.
How much will this cost people, generally, family by family in our country?
Well, I think you could do it cost-free. You simply say to people, we're going to tax carbon, okay, and we're going to reduce your payroll taxes by the exact equivalent amount. We're going to tax the thing we don't want you to do, emit carbon, and we're going to reduce the taxes on the thing we do want you to do, work and enjoy more of the fruits of your labor. Is that such a hard sell?
Maybe it's not such a hard sell, but as Friedman points out, climate change is not on the minds of Americans these days.
For most Americans, it's not a priority issue. That's one of the problems. There is no Pearl Harbor for climate, or thank God there hasn't been yet. Once there is, oh, we will have a broad consensus about it. I fear that once that climate Pearl Harbor hits, it'll be too late.
What kind of world do you think we're facing for not only us, but for our children and our grandchildren?
You know, if you woke me up at 2 a.m, injected me with truth serum, and said, do we really have a chance here to change any of this? I'd probably have to tell you the truth, that It's a long shot at best. I admit that. But then, you know, as my head would clear from the truth serum, and I looked up from my bed and saw the picture of my two daughters up there, I'd say, sorry, we may be cooked, okay? We may be completely fried, but as long as I got kids, I'm gonna keep at this thing until the last dog dies. I'm always thinking one more move, one more price signal, one more technology, and we will be able to create a world that will have a livable planet for our kids and their kids. That is our opportunity. That is our obligation.